Greetings to you on this fourth Sunday in Advent. Unfortunately, our congregations were not able to come together today around Word and Sacrament, yet our Lord still blesses us with the present age to still hear His Word and gather around it, and even in a simple way that we have today, since we've had to cancel church. And so, we consider on this fourth Sunday several texts, and it's around the common theme that we've been waiting to hear, which is the conception of Jesus, the coming of the Lord, the Word become flesh. On this Sunday, we'd be singing, O Come, Emmanuel, because Emmanuel is the focus, God with us, as we'll hear in the Old Testament reading from Isaiah. But, indeed, a good way for us to begin all this is to join together in the collect of the day. So let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You'll notice that also on our church website that you can download and link to the actual hard copy of the sermon for today. And the sermon today is based on the main gospel reading, Matthew chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the common greeting we hear, and it is the common greeting for sermons that originates from how St. Paul opened his letters to Christians. When we consider the tradition, though, of sending greetings by cards at Christmas time to friends and family, those origins are not as scriptural. Matter of fact, the first Christmas cards made by Sir Henry Cole from England in 1843 had no religious theme to them. It simply showed family generations gathered for a festive meal. On either side of this main picture were also depictions of charitable acts toward the poor. Even if Christmas cards do not have such holy origins, sending greetings are hopeful, and Christians value this most of all by how God greets us in His Son. Of course, when God came bringing His greetings of good news, the mighty house of David had dwindled down to nothing. As the saying goes, here today and gone tomorrow went the line of David and its glory. Joseph was no king, not even on the court of a king, but a carpenter on the outskirts of Israel. When God had promised as his sign of the Messiah to faithless King Ahaz, and all the house of David was now hundreds of years later under mounds of hopelessness. Yet this was not terrifying to God, for his salvation never becomes void, weary, or faint like men. Since St. Matthew has Jewish origins when he gives us, indeed, the reading of the Christmas story of God's coming, it's the first story because the Jewish origins had to hear this hope for the whole house of Israel. And that's why it's quite the greeting. The opening words are pretty straightforward. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. The sign that many had waited to see has now become our hope fulfilled, for God is with us. Now, hope turned upside down is no sign of hope. When God decided to fulfill his promise to the line of David, Joseph saw it, as we know, as a problem. How he found out about this pregnancy of Mary is a mystery. Maybe she told him outright. Maybe she started to show signs. Maybe it came to him another way. Whatever the case, Joseph was not looking to be the policeman or make a public spectacle of her. He was a just man, having a right relationship with God by faith, and with that faith came compassion. Compassion toward what seemed to be Mary's infidelity. we have the same problem. Since our thoughts, words, and deeds turn the hope of God upside down, this is what we come to all the time, confessing our sins as we gather together in the name of Jesus and the promise of our baptism. How situations come upon us in life as we live them in various and unique ways always runs head-on into what we make of these things that come upon us, just like Joseph. God is always at work for good, but most often all kinds of doubt deny such thinking, don't they? We doubt what God is doing is good. And God's word quickly gets pushed out of the way by our words that want to take control. They want to give an answer when we think there is no answer from God. The deeds of the law, though, are a conveyor belt leading at last to despair, because we know by works of the law no one will be saved. And for Joseph's situation, it was divorce. And for ours, it may be having to give up on what we thought we could do that would be good. Whatever the case, the law cannot save. Works cannot save. Our problem sometimes just gets worse. And so hope comes then finally from how God sustains his sign of hope. Joseph received a new perspective that could not come from his own efforts. In his hour of need and sorrow, agonizing over this whole situation, the Lord shared what he alone can give to banish the darkness. An angel came preaching what God thought of the whole matter, saying, "Son of David, do not fear." God's word to Joseph directed to the long-awaited promise of Emmanuel, God with us. And this God with us would be called Jesus, which meant forgiveness for a shipwrecked house of Israel. Rather than defeat, the virgin conception of Mary was the sign of life, worked by the Holy Spirit. God sustains his sign of hope to us by that same promising word. The word confronts us with the virgin conception and the resurrection, proving Jesus is more than a man, but God with us for all good. If you've ever noticed, Jesus' life is sandwiched between both his coming and also his going. Both his life that was sinless and by his glorious conquering over death, which was our victory. The word shows that his perfect coming in the flesh of how the one in the midst of humanity is God for us, able to save us from our sin. And that same word guarantees the perfect sacrifice has been made, and his people are any who trust in him. Since, as we know from Acts, it says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The word gives comfort, for the signs of the last day are many, as Jesus said, and as indeed we see throughout the book of Revelation and in other aspects of the New Testament. But like Joseph, we have this promise, not from an angel, but from God himself, Jesus. For he tells us, "And behold, I am with you always, Emmanuel, to the end of the age." Hope leads to where the sign of hope is alive. Rather than death, Joseph saw life by faith in the gospel, truly at work in the Virgin Mary. When he awoke from sleep, his thoughts, words, and deeds aligned to what he hoped in from God. No longer in himself, but in God's saving word. Unlike King Ahaz, Joseph was a true son of David, thinking not of himself or allowing doubt to win the day, but let God's salvation be at the center of it all, even if it sat in the womb of his wife by the Holy Spirit. if actions speak louder than words, then that's the case for Joseph, since marriage was the most important thing, the highest thing. It was marriage to Mary that both protected her and gave a birthright to her child. Yet there is one confession we know Joseph did make, even though we know nothing else of what he said. We know this. He called his adopted son Jesus. Humanity tries to create hopefulness. It's what government wants to give, businesses want to encourage, families try to indeed seek out by their expectations. But hope is already alive, not by our works, but alive, leading the way for sinners. Jesus tells us by his coming there is only one spirit of Christmas. The spirit that brought forth his virgin birth also has made baptism a miracle for us. For Jesus tells us we were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Forgiveness changes how we think about life. For the hope we have in Christ is at the center, not doubt and fear. The Lord's Supper keeps hope alive to call upon Christ and confess his name in our life, for God is with us under this bread and wine. And in that simplicity, there is a greater God who saves, who's at work in our life, even when we see things that appear evil and darkened. God seeks to work all good. He goes with us for our good. Since Jesus is both God and man, our acts of love and bearing crosses honor how God is not far from us. This is what Joseph did, and this is what God's people do now in honoring Jesus. We bear our crosses and act in love, because he has first loved us. He is the one who is faithful for us. And so Christmas cards are wonderful greetings this time of the year. Family generations on a card are glorious to see. But God also gathers his own kind of family by the Spirit. He has greeted humanity with a personalized message, you could say. The Word became flesh, to be born in the manger, and has made his way to the cross. The virgin birth is a stumbling block to some, foolishness to others, but to those that believe in his name, we have this promise. Jesus saves his people from their sins. This is what we see as the sign of him now at work by word and sacraments, but soon he comes in glory. And this is the good that indeed, no longer indeed says that we're sinners, but now we are fully and rightly saints. This is the good that we look upon the death of loved ones who indeed will rise from the grave. This is the good that no devil can bring us into despair, for Jesus has done all things for us. The sign that many had waited to see has become our hope fulfilled. For God is with us. Amen. The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.